It's always a great privilege to preach the Word of God. Yet there's always an awesome responsibility as well upon any preacher. The message I have tonight, I trust it will be a plain message. I trust that if you're in this meeting tonight without Jesus Christ, that you will not be left in any doubt as to your need of salvation. However, we need the help of God, the Holy Spirit. We need God to come and to teach us tonight. We need God to come and to work amongst us tonight. Therefore, before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His help, please, in a word of prayer. Child of God, can I ask you to please pray with us? Pray for us. Pray for an outpouring sense of God, the Holy Spirit. How helpless, how hopeless we would be if God were not here. But we thank God that we can claim His promise tonight. And therefore, let's claim it in prayer as we come to Him just now. Heavenly Father, we take these moments just to still ourselves humbly and reverently in Thy presence. And as we come to handle the Scriptures of truth, we pray, O God, for that sense of Thy help. O Lord, we need Thee tonight. We need Thee, O God, to come and to lead us into all truth. We need Thee, O Lord, to help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And so, God, we pray that You'll come by tonight. Lord, hover over this meeting, we ask of Thee. May we be so conscious of the presence of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray especially for the dear unconverted one in this meeting. Oh God, we pray that tonight You'll come with those cords of conviction to their heart. We pray, O Lord, that tonight the Spirit of God will be about His business, convicting men and women, young people, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll convict sinners tonight. We pray, O Lord, that You'll make them miserable in their sin tonight. We pray, O God, that You'll make this an uncomfortable meeting for them. We pray, stir hearts. Lord, we realize that this work belongs only unto Thee. And while we ask for the conviction power of God, the Spirit, we pray as well for conversion. We pray, O Lord, that tonight You'll open hearts. As Lydia's heart was opened that Sabbath day, open hearts, we pray, in this house of worship tonight. Lord, save sinners. Snatch them as a brand from the burning. Oh God, we ask that tonight the realities of life and death will fall upon them. Lord, for many they've sat long in this congregation. For many they've heard the message of the gospel. Lord, they could get up into this pulpit and they could preach it. They know it so well, but they have no heart experience of it. Therefore, O God, we pray that tonight You'll do that work in hearts that will last for time and for eternity. I pray, O God, that tonight You'll use this vessel of clay to Thine honor and glory. Help us to preach aright tonight. Help us to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth. We need Thee. Stand with us, we pray, in this pulpit. Make it not a lonely place to us, we pray. But may we be very conscious of the presence of God. Lord, we pray that from the pulpit to the pew that each one of us will know the presence of God in a very real and in a very particular way. So, Lord, come now and open the Scriptures of truth. Make them live in our hearts, we pray. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask it in Thy name and for Thine eternal glory. Amen. Amen. During World War II, the then British Prime Minister Winston Churchill was faced with a very painful choice. The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code and they had informed the Prime Minister of that time that the enemy was going to invade and going to bomb the city of Coventry. He had two alternatives. One alternative that faced him was to evacuate the citizens of that city. But yet the problem with that was that it would indicate to the enemy that the code was broken. And therefore the information stream would cease. And the other alternative was that he would take no action. The information would keep on flowing. And possibly many more lives would be saved. Churchill had to choose. He was faced with a decision that could define and determine the rest of the war. He made a decision. And he followed that second course of action. The information kept on flowing. According to many sources, it was a decisive moment in the history of World War II. While not being of the same magnitude as the situation that Churchill faced, yet often during the course of our lives, we come to that moment. We come to that decisive, that defining moment. We too are faced with a choice. We too are faced with a decision that must be made. A decision that may well alter the course of the rest of our lives. Whoever tonight in this meeting, every man, woman, every young person, every older person will make another decision, will make another choice. And I'm not talking tonight about a choice concerning your education. I'm not talking tonight about a choice concerning your family or concerning your finances. This is a choice of far greater significance and a choice with far greater implications. This is a choice of far greater importance. Because I'm talking tonight about the choice that's offered to you in the gospel. Whether to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior or to reject Him. Whether to receive Christ, realize your sin, and turn to Christ, or to reject Jesus Christ. Continue on in your sin. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Israel stood at a crossroads in their experience. They'd wandered now for some time in the wilderness. They'd witnessed the goodness of God, the blessings of God. But now they stood on the border of Canaan, that land of promise. And as they stood at that juncture in their lives, Moses, that great prophet of God, issues a challenge to them. He issues a warning to them. And in verse number 19, which will form the basis of our text for tonight, the basis of what we want to consider by the help of God, he issues this challenge, he issues this warning. And in verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." The choice between life and death, the choice between blessing and cursing, between the way of God or the way of the world. And then he demands that they make that decision. And just as Moses presented this choice to the people of his day and generation, so this choice is presented to you tonight. The decision, as we've already indicated, is the same. And tonight perhaps you stand at a crossroads in your life, and you need to make a decision. A decision concerning the gospel. And folks, tonight, it matters not who or what you are. It matters not what class of society you belong to or don't belong to. It matters not what position you hold in society or what position you don't hold in society. This is a decision that you must make. And this is a decision that you will make. As we come to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and the verse 19, I want us to consider what I've entitled the choice of the gospel. Choice of the gospel. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the character of it. The character of it. Because there are some matters relating to this choice that I want us to consider together. I want you to see that it's a definite choice. You see, folks, tonight, this is something on which you cannot be neutral. This is something that you cannot, as it were, sit on the fence. Because you will decide one way or the other. You will definitely choose, no matter what your choice is. Oh yes, you can decide to take no opinion on many, many different aspects of life. But here is something that you will make a definite choice about. Either to receive Christ or to reject Him. You can't say tonight, oh, I'll put it off for another time. No, you'll decide tonight. And as you decide, you will be deciding not concerning a church. Folks, I want you to realize tonight, and if you've come to this church at any time, you will realize that the gospel message is not centered on a church. You could be faithful to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church all your life and go to hell. You could come and go from this house of worship every Lord's Day, take your place in your respective pew every Lord's Day. And yet that would not be enough to save your soul. How sad tonight across our country. There are those who are depending on their church. And believe their church will be enough to save them. Folks, tonight it won't be enough. I love this church. I love the stand of the Free Presbyterian Church. But I know more than that. I know that this church will never save you. Therefore, tonight, I'm not asking you to decide about this church. I'm asking you tonight to decide about Jesus Christ, the person of the gospel, the one who left the majesty and the splendor of heaven. The one who came into this world of sin and brokenness. The one who lived that perfect life before God and man. The one who kept every precept of the law of God, something which man had failed to do. The one who on Calvary's cross was made sin. The one who became sin. The one who legally stood before the law of God as guilty as the vilest of sinners. And then during those hours of darkness at Calvary's cross, bellow after bellow of the wrath of God was poured out upon His lovely Son. As He paid the price for our sin, as He satisfied every demand of the law, as He suffered and bled and died in order to save your soul from sin. At Calvary, His precious blood was shed. That blood of infinite value, that blood of infinite worth, that blood tonight which speaks better things than that of Abel's, because, praise God, the blood cries out to God for peace and for forgiveness. The blood of Abel cried out for revenge, but the blood of Jesus Christ cries out for forgiveness tonight. Thank God tonight there's power in that precious blood. That blood which speaks to God, there's power in it to wash away your sin. Nothing more is required for you to do. Because at Calvary's cross He cried out, finished. Redemption's plan had been completed. That way back to God from the dark paths of sin had been opened up. Therefore, do you see that tonight this choice that you will make is about Jesus Christ? The great test, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ tonight? Is He just to you some man who lived that good life? Laid a good example for us to follow? Oh, that tonight you would see Jesus Christ as your only Savior. See Him as your only hope for heaven. I'm calling on you tonight to decide for Jesus Christ. I'm calling on you tonight to realize before Almighty God your sin. I'm calling on you tonight to turn and repent of that sin and to receive Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. It's a definite choice. But I want you to see as well with me here, it's a demanding choice. Because in verse number 19 we read, I call heaven and earth to record this day. This day. That little phrase, this day, it's recorded as far as I can see, and I trust my calculations are right. 6 times in that one chapter. 6 times, this day, this day, this day. You see, this is something which demands your immediate attention. There's an urgency tonight about this decision. This is a demanding choice. Why? Because of the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death. You think you can put it off to another time. You think you'll have another opportunity. You think you'll come back next week and you'll hear the preacher preach again that you need to be saved. Well, maybe then I'll choose. Listen, salvation in the Scriptures of truth, it's always presented in the here and now. It's always in the present. Why? Because this is the only time that we are guaranteed. Sinner, you are not guaranteed one more moment. We're faced with death all around us. Death on our roads, death in our families. And yet we seem to think we're going to live forever. Sinner, sometime, you're going to cross that way too. You know that you are going to die. But did you think it could be this night? This night. Therefore, there is an urgency. The wise man said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Sinner, don't harden your heart. But today, if you hear his voice, come to Jesus Christ. Tomorrow will be too late. Tomorrow may never come. David rightly said that there is but a step between me and death. You were to take that step tonight, where would you be? If you were to step out of this church building and never see your front door tonight, where would you be? That's the reality of life and death tonight. And sinner, you need to realize it. You think you've got all your life ahead of you. But one day, someday, this day could be the day of your death. Therefore, there is an urgency about this matter of receiving Jesus Christ. It's a demanding choice, but it's also a documented choice. Look at verse 19 again with me. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth, not merely a reference there to the places, but to the inhabitants of those places, to the rulers, to the elders on earth, and to the angels, and ultimately to Almighty God in heaven. You see, God requires that you make this choice, but furthermore, He records the choice you make. The decision you make tonight has been documented. It's been marked. Well, you might think tonight, people around you, they don't know what choice I've made. And you know, maybe more than that, they think
you've made the right choice. They think you've chosen for Jesus Christ. They think tonight you're saved.
But you know deep down in your heart, you're not saved. Brought up in the things of God. Nurtured in the gospel. Parents who love you. Family members who pray for you. Elders, committee who long to see you saved. And you think you're fooling everybody. But you'll not fool God. He knows every heart. He knows my heart tonight. He knows every heart in this meeting. There's nothing hid from Him. And you might try to pull the wool over the eyes of your minister, over the eyes of the elders, over the eyes of your parents. But my friend, you'll never fool God. He knows your heart tonight. He knows the decision you've made. As you sit here in this church tonight, what is God's record of your choice? Will it be that it was that night that that person chose Jesus Christ? Or will it be that it was that night that that person continued to reject Jesus Christ? The character of this choice, but I want you to see further with me here in this verse the contrast involved in it. The contrast. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Two different subject matters, both at either end of their respective spectrums. Oh, what could be more opposite to blessing than cursing? What could be more opposite to life than death? And in the Word of God, that is the contrast that's presented before us. You see, each one of us born into this world, born in sin, we're under the condemnation of God. The wrath of God. We're cursed because of Adam's sin. The gospel writer John summed it up so well when he said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." He that believeth not is condemned already. Those unsaved one in this meeting tonight, that should send a shiver down your spine. To think that as you sit in this meeting, the condemnation of God is upon you. It's not that in a future time, at some time down the line, that you will be condemned, but now, right now, as you sit here, you're under the condemnation of God. And oh, that you might acknowledge that. Oh, that you might realize how you stand before God, cut off, condemned, the wrath of God abiding on your head. And that at any moment, God's mercy, which has withheld His wrath from you, could be passed. That moment when God no longer deals in mercy, but deals in judgment. And God's Spirit ceases to strive. And no longer you feel those pangs of conviction. No longer you feel that desire to get right with God. And you continue on in that estate. And you remain under the condemnation of God. And you die. You go out of this world still under the condemnation of God. You'll be lost. Lost forever. But at the end of this spectrum, there's blessing. There's life. Again, the gospel writer John, he says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am come. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly." I wish I had the vocabulary tonight. I wish I had the wherewithal to tell you just what it means to be saved. I wish I could tell you just the joy that there is in the heart of the sinner who knows their sins forgiven.
The joy that there is in the heart of the one who by faith has been to that place of Calvary and had their sins washed away. Oh, I wish I could tell you how it really is tonight, but I can't. But I know that what God has done in my heart, what God has done in the hearts of many in this meeting tonight, He can do for you. Maybe tonight you've been searching for peace and for happiness. And you've been in the things of this world. And you've tried to live your life trying to find that satisfaction for your life in the things of this world. Has it brought you contentment? The drink, the drugs, has it brought you happiness? No. And I tell you this, it never will. Because there's a vacuum in all of our hearts. A vacuum that's God-shaped and will only ever be God-filled. Oh, tonight you will not know true peace, true life, the real meaning of life until you come and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Blessings beyond compare are offered to you in the gospel tonight. The blessing of pardon from sin, of peace with God, the blessing of God's presence to help and to guide every step of the way, the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of knowing that the moment you close your eyes in death, you'll be with Christ in heaven forevermore. What's holding you back tonight? What's holding you back? I believe this message, and I know beyond any shadow of doubt, this message to you is nothing new. Therefore, what's holding you back from coming to Jesus Christ? Is it a friend? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it some secret vice that you're involved in? Whatever it is tonight, it's not worth losing your soul in hell over. Get rid of it. And get to Jesus Christ and be saved. And you'll know life that's worth the meaning. You'll know what John said when he said of Jesus Christ, I am come that ye might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You'll know abundant life tonight. You come and put your trust in Jesus Christ. The character of this choice, the contrast, the consequences of it. Because you see, whatever choice you make tonight, it will have consequences. Whether you want to admit it or not, it will have consequences either for the better or for the worse. You accept Jesus Christ, you turn from sin, you receive Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you'll receive blessing, you'll receive life. But you reject Him tonight. It'll be the costliest decision you ever make. Oh, some decisions in life have proved to cost us financially. Other decisions have proved to cost us emotionally. But you make the wrong choice tonight concerning Jesus Christ. It'll cost you eternally. Eternally. It will impact on your future. Because the choice you make tonight will determine your eternal destiny. Depending on the choice you make will impact on where you will be after death. It'll determine where you spend eternity. Oh, there are so many people today and they're concerned about tomorrow. They're concerned about where their life will take them in the next year. They're concerned about where they'll be in 5 years' time, but they give no thought about where they'll be in eternity. Sinner, you need to stop tonight. You need to stop and you need to consider eternity in the light of God's word. You need to consider where you would be if this night God were to come and take breath from your body. You reject Jesus Christ. You're rejecting your only hope, your only way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And maybe you've got this false hope tonight that you can live your life in sin. You can try to live your life on the good side of the broad road, as it were. And somehow God is going to allow you into heaven even though you've rejected him all your life. It'll never happen. Never happen. Remember the words Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, you must be saved tonight. This is no trivial matter. This is a choice, as we've seen, between life and death. And your destiny tonight, where you will be in God's eternity, depends not upon your character, but rather upon your choice. You reject Jesus Christ in life, he'll reject you in death. But you receive Jesus Christ in life, he'll receive you in death. He'll not turn you away. Maybe you think tonight, if I were to come to Jesus Christ, well, my life just hasn't been too great. And the Lord really couldn't save me. My life just has been a bit of a wreck up until now. You think the Lord couldn't save you? No. He will. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, he'll save you. He'll save you gladly. And he'll not only save you, but praise God, he'll keep you. You speak to anybody in the doors about their need of salvation. You speak to anybody in general about their need to be saved, and well, at times, yes, they will agree with you. Yeah, you need to be saved, and I need to be saved, but you know, my problem is I couldn't keep it. But you know the reality is? Neither you could. My salvation depended on Garth Wilson keeping it. I would be lost, but praise God, he not only sees, but he keeps. As Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. He'll save you tonight. He'll keep you. Kept by the power of God. You get saved tonight. Your life will be transformed. Your life will be turned around. You'll enjoy the blessing of God. You'll know peace that you never thought were possible. God will give you every blessing. And God will make you happy. God doesn't save a sinner to make them miserable. God saves us to make us happy. And there's a joy in knowledge of sins forgiven. Tonight you can walk out of this meeting scot-free. You can walk out of this meeting just as if you had never sinned a sin. Oh, because of what Christ did on Calvary's cross. You can walk out of this meeting tonight with a spring in your step and a joy and a happiness that this world cannot give, and praise God, this world cannot take away. Our time is gone and well gone. But as we close, I want you to see the challenge. In verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Moses is a faithful servant of God, set before the people the message of God. He presented the choice. He brings it all to conclusion now, and he presents the challenge. He's discharged his duty before Almighty God, and now he challenges the people to choose life. He wanted nothing but the best for the people. And he knew that that best could only come through their right choice. Dear unsaved one in this meeting, we want nothing but the best for you. And we know the best decision you'll ever make will be to decide for Jesus Christ, will be to turn from your sin and receive him as he's offered to you in the gospel. The challenge goes out to you tonight. Choose life. Choose life. Two ways stand before you tonight. Blessing, cursing, life and death. The way of God or the way of the world. Which will you choose? Because choose you will. And choose you must. What will it be? Oh, I urge you tonight, in God's great name, choose life. Choose Christ. Don't hanker anymore after the sins of this world, because it'll just destroy your life even more. Come to Jesus Christ tonight. Come and be saved. And do it now. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Let's bow in a word of prayer. If you've been troubled about the things of God, and tonight you know that you must make a decision, and you desire to make that right decision, that you desire to choose Christ tonight, then I urge you in Christ's name, don't put it off. Don't think that you can choose for another time. Don't think like one of all that you'll have another convenient season. This is the convenient season. Therefore, tonight, choose life. If we can be of any help to you, speak to us. A Christian you know in the church, speak to them. Dr. Douglas is here. Elders are here. Committee are here that love to speak to you about the things of God. Whatever you do tonight, don't leave this meeting without receiving Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that you'll give that needed grace for sinners to come, to leave their sin, and to receive Jesus Christ. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 233. Hymn number 233. 233. Once again, the gospel message. From the Saviour you have heard, will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Will you? I pray that you will tonight. We're going to sing just verse 1 and 3 only. Verse 1 and verse 3 only. Standing as we sing, think of the words as we sing. Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not. At once decide. Hymn number 233, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
We pray, O God, that thy presence will continue on with us. Speak on, we ask of thee. We pray, Lord, you'll take of our thanks as well for the good things that have been prepared. We pray, Lord, that you then will part each one of us in thy blessing. Take each one of us to our homes in safety. Travel with us, we pray. Keep us in the Spirit throughout this night. And bring sinners to thyself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.